Oh, I wonder if there's some liars here this morning. Oh, you can't, you know, you sing all these wonderful songs, but there's somebody in church you can't stand. God says, if that's you, you're a liar.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message this evening is the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message delivered to the Germantown Christian Assembly congregation on February 25th in recognition of Black History Month and is entitled Restoring the Dream. Following a video presentation to the congregation of Dr. Martin Luther King's dramatic and moving I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C., and in the part of the message aired last week, Pastor Grant took us to God's Word to point out in John chapter 17 that Jesus too had a dream. He explained how Jesus had a very special dream for his church, that they may all be one. But Pastor Grant challenged us all in how Jesus' dream seems somehow missing from the church, and until the church gets it right, society will never get it right. But Pastor Grant also had a word of hope in that God has already created oneness in the church. So let's listen now as Pastor Grant again picks up the theme with practical instructions in how doing things God's way can produce the dream Christ desires. Here again is Pastor Grant with the second part of his message, Restoring the Dream.
Dr. Billy Graham, I admired him deeply. Oh, I know there's some who will criticize him for this or that. I learned to preach listening to Billy Graham. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher, but I was drawn to listen to him every single Sunday. Effectively, I was taught by him. But I'll never forget reading about somewhere in the early 1950s. Billy Graham was preaching down south, and as usual, the crowd was segregated. They had a black section and a white section. Billy Graham left the platform, and he went into the audience, and he took down the ropes, and he said, "Listen, I ain't preaching at no more segregated crusades." He shook up the status quo. Thank God for a man who was willing to shake it up. He ran into big trouble with Bob Jones. Oh, Bob Jones preached a heated message against him, put out a book against him because of the fact that he was willing to shake up the status quo. And listen, my brother and sister, if we are going to bring unity to the church of Christ, we as believers are going to have to be willing to shake up the status quo. Paul knew about shaking up the status quo. The book of Philemon tells the story of Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus was Philemon's slave who escaped and ran away. And Onesimus eventually found his way to Rome, where he met the Apostle Paul, and he became a Christian. And after a period of discipleship, Paul sent him back to his slave master, Philemon. Oh, some people have a problem, and they're saying, why did he send him back? Paul sent him back to his slave master. Thank God he did, because if he didn't send him back, we would never understand the mind of the Apostle Paul, nor the mind, a part of the mind of God on this matter, because what we need to do is to see what Paul writes. I'm going to read it for you in Philemon, and for those of you who are not sure, is that really in the Bible? It really is. If you find Hebrews, just turn back one page. And to be honest, I really mean just one page, because if you turn two pages, you'd have missed it, because it's only one chapter. So Philemon, I don't even have to tell you chapter 1. I'm only going to say Philemon verse 10. And here we read in Philemon verse number 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. No, this is the slave he's sending back. Don't miss the key words here. Paul is sending back this slave. He says, receive him. This is my heart. whom I wish to keep with me that on your behalf he might minister to me. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. He's saying to Philemon, I am the apostle, but I'm not going to force you or order you to do anything, but I'm appealing to you to do the right thing. Perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Get verse number 10. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a what? A beloved brother. Oh, Philemon, I hope you got that. I hope you got it. I hope you got it. The Apostle Paul says, this man is not your slave. He is your brother. No, he didn't say that. He said he is your beloved brother. He says he's my beloved brother. He's to me. And he says, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's saying, listen, you need to realize he's not just your brother because he's a Christian. You need to realize he's your brother in the flesh. This is not your slave. Thank God, might we, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me. May God help us, all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, that we might have that attitude, that we might recognize that every believer, no matter who they are, no matter their social class, no matter what they look like, they are our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, because God has made us one. For some people, it's going to mean shaking up the status quo at church. I remember my parents went to a church some years ago when they were traveling overseas. And when they entered the church, they were told, I don't think this is the church you really had in mind. They looked the wrong color. And so they were told there's another church. And they gave them the address for the other church. I want you to realize, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're going to change up the status quo, it might mean shaking up things at your church. It might mean showing up with some of the wrong people. You understand what I'm saying? It might mean reaching out to people outside your comfort zone. And some of us right here at GCA, it might mean reaching and bringing to church, inviting the church, somebody who does not look like you. I'm thanking God that this church has people born in Europe, Asia, Africa, North and South America, and people from many of the islands of the sea. So if you're listening on radio and you're from Australia, we would welcome you, because we don't have anybody from Australia. But let me just say to anyone listening, I want you to know you're welcome here at GCA, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like. Because we want to walk together, we want to love together, we want to grow together in unity. We want to demonstrate to this world what Christian unity looks like. If we're going to keep the unity, we'll have to shake up the status quo, but we'll have to demonstrate love. Oh, it's not just talk. Let me put on the board for you 1 John chapter 4. Verse 20. I'll put it on the screen for you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. We'll have to demonstrate love. And here's what it says. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Oh, I wonder if there's some liars here this morning. Oh, you sing all these wonderful songs, but there's somebody in church you can't stand. God says, if that's you, you're a liar. For if we don't love the people we can see, don't throw stones at the pastor. It's not me saying it. This is the word of the living God. Amen? Amen. If we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Don't claim you love God if you don't love your fellow believers. This ought to challenge everybody. Don't claim you love God if you don't love your fellow believers. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. So you go through that. You make sure you don't go this side because she's over this side. What if there's somebody here? Let me pause. What if there's somebody here with issues with somebody? You know, one of the issues about love, and I had it in my notes, but because of time, I took it out, but it had to do with reconciliation. You cannot keep unity if there's no reconciliation. Add that to your notes. I won't give you all I intended to say, but add it to the notes. There has got to be not only love, there has got to be reconciliation. There can be no unity. And what a shame it is when individuals will come to church over and over and listen to the word of God, and they will leave here determined not to live in unity and in reconciliation with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And God challenging you. So those who love God must also love their. You need to do more than like me. You got to love me. A wife came into Dr. George Crane's office full of anger toward her husband. She said, I don't only want to get rid of him. I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as I can for all the hurt he has done to me. I want to hurt that man, and then I'm going to divorce him. Probably there's somebody who feels that way here. Dr. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. Dr. Crane said, go home and act as if you really love him. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every good trait. Go out of your way to be kind, considerate, and generous. Spare no effort to please him and make him believe you love him. And after you do that, drop the bomb. Tell him, I'm getting a divorce. He will be devastated. So, with revenge in her eyes, she smiled and said, he's going to be so shocked. She left, and for the next 2 months, she showed love, kindness, and everything that Dr. Crane had suggested. She was piling it on this man because she was just waiting to drop the bomb. A couple of months, Dr. Crane called and he said, are you ready to go through with the divorce now? She said, divorce? Divorce? Definitely not. I discovered I really love the man.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My father-in-law used to say, we should do the things that love requires. Oh, this is good for some husbands and wives. Oh, I know it's good for some husbands and wives this morning. Oh, you can't wait to get rid of that man or that girl. I want to hurt him. Oh, probably you need to follow this advice and start doing the things that love requires. Oh, what a revolution might take place in your life. And listen, it's good for marriage, but it's also good for human relationships. That person you can't stand, can you imagine what might happen in your life if you started doing good things for them, if you started treating them kindly, if you started showing them love? It will change how you feel. And I challenge those of you who are listening to me this morning, whether here or listening to me on radio, I challenge you, start that person you don't like, that person who seems odd, that person who is different from you, that person you have been trying to avoid, but they are the brother and sister in Christ. I challenge you to start showing them love. Invite them over to your home. Have dinner with them. Have tea with them. Let's change the paradigm. Let's demonstrate to the world that we are one in Christ, that we are part of the same body of Christ with the same hope. Third and final, stay anchored to the rock. Racism is primarily a spiritual problem. Oh, that might surprise you. Racism is primarily a spiritual problem. Although government has an important role to play, this problem is too big for the government. Only submission to God can fix this. But sadly, some of us have left the God of our fathers. Some left because they regarded the God of the Bible as a white man's God. In Jamaica, Rastafarians chose the emperor of Ethiopia, a black man, as their God. The black Muslims trying to get and find their own God, their own Messiah, a black person, they selected the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the messenger of Allah. But we don't need two saviors. We don't need a white savior for white people and a black savior for black people. Because listen, the problem is not sin, it's skin. Oh, let me get that right. The problem is not skin, it's sin. Oh, I hope you got that. It's not skin. And God provided one Savior for the whole world, and His name is Jesus. And I need to ask you this morning, do you know this Savior, this Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory? Do you know Him? Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, do you know this Jesus, the one Savior for the whole world? Some churches have pictures of a white Jesus. Others have pictures of a black Jesus. But at GCA, we don't want to hang any pictures of Jesus. And I hope everybody listening to me, if you're a teacher here in this Sunday, in this church, we don't want no pictures of Jesus. We don't want a white picture, a black picture, a yellow picture. Because listen, the color of His skin is not what's important. What's important is the color of His blood. It's the blood that cleanses us from sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I need to ask you the question, has the blood of Jesus cleansed you as yet? Oh, I'm glad there's some men here this morning, and some of you might be sort of, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm. Are you committed to this Jesus? The closing verse of Lift Every Voice and Sing warns us about the possibility of losing our grip on the rock. And if we're honest, some of us would have to admit our feet have strayed from the paths of God. What a tragedy that so many of us whose foreparents wrote these spirituals. What a tragedy that so many of us have strayed. And the anthem warns us that we have to be careful lest our feet stray from the paths of our forefathers. If you're here this morning and the things of the world have tantalized you so much, if you're one of those that have become so engaged in the world, it is time to come back to God. It is time to come home. It is time to say, I've wandered far away from God, but Lord, I'm coming home. There's a man and there's a woman. There's some of you here this morning, and you need to come to the cross this morning and say, God, I'm coming home. I'm returning to you. In those days of great adversity, the old-time religion gave our foreparents hope. And I still love the old-time religion. How about you? It's a message of hope for every sinner that despite the fact that we're wretched sinners, despite all we've done, God loved us and sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. What a story. What a story. What a story. The message of the cross is central to restoring the dream. John Newton's testimony is a living witness to the power of the cross. John Newton was a white man who captained slave ships transporting slaves from the coast of Africa to Jamaica and the United States. And although God saved him, he continued in the wicked business of transporting slaves. But God kept working on his heart. And eventually John Newton submitted to God's will. He not only gave up the business of transporting slaves, he became an abolitionist. For those of you who know what that means, he now dedicated his life to ending slavery. And John Newton now started mentoring a man by the name of William Wilberforce. And as a result of William Wilberforce's effort, he was a member of the British Parliament. And Newton, he was a member of Newton's church, because Newton was now a pastor. And because of their combined efforts and working along with others, as a result of that, slavery was abolished in the entire British Empire in 1833. This racist slave ship captain had been changed by the power of the cross. And God wants to change many of us today, regardless of our race or color. He is calling us to restore his dream. Are you willing to work for unity? Are you willing to come back home? But you know, and I close with this, one of the most powerful Christian anthems ever written was written by this same man. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I wonder, as I close, am I talking to somebody here? And you say, Pastor, I really am still lost. I just want you to know, God's amazing grace is available. And Jesus Christ died just for your sin. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how low on the totem pole you may feel. I just want you to know, God's amazing grace is extended to you today. And if you will open your heart to Christ, he will come in and save your soul. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.